Here is the week in Congressman John Faso news. Votes he took, positions he espoused, and protest rallies and town halls that he attended or not. Faso returned to Washington, D.C. this week, where the website 538.com currently reports Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 88.9% of the time. This week, much of the news around Faso involved his possible Democratic opponents in 2018.
Richard Moody reported in the Columbia Green Media, Democratic hopeful Gareth Rhodes from Esophis held a campaign fundraiser in the village of Valencia on Saturday, September the 23rd. Rhodes is one of several Democrats hoping to face off against first-term U.S. Representative John Faso in November 2018. Moody calls the decision to hold the fundraiser at the home of a supporter in Faso's hometown, quote, a bold political move, end quote. People feel betrayed and sold out, Rhodes said. He said, and I quote, everywhere we go, people tell us that even people who know him in his hometown feel betrayed, end quote. As of June 30th, Rhodes' fledgling campaign had just under $135,000 in the bank, while Faso reported a total of nearly $570,000 in contributions. Rhodes said his campaign will focus on getting high-speed broadband service to upstate New York and work to ensure the Environmental Protection Agency remains funded. The Daily Freeman is reporting that Democrat Sue Sullivan of Plattsburgh announced on Monday, September the 25th, her withdrawal from the field of candidates hoping to unseat U.S. Representative John Faso in November 2018. Sullivan said in a letter to supporters the decision was based on her ability, and I quote, as a first-time candidate to raise the resources necessary to win this election, end quote. Sullivan, 52, announced her candidacy in May, touting her experience in economic development, health care, environmental protection, and small business. Seven Democrat candidates now remain in the race. And you can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Ariel Zangler is reporting in the Daily Freeman that Stephen Bryce, a candidate for the Democratic nomination to challenge U.S. Representative John Faso in the 19th Congressional District race next year, has been charged with grand larceny by Newburgh police. The 27-year-old Walden resident was arrested September 11th and charged with allegedly taking nearly $1,500 worth of men's clothing and household goods from the Kohl's store located off Route 300 in Newburgh. Kohl's security said Bryce was caught on camera and ultimately stopped with the items before leaving the store. Bryce said in a phone conversation with Zangler on Monday, and I quote, I did not take items from Kohl's without paying, end quote. The matter is before a judge, Judge Martini in Newburgh, and Bryce is scheduled to appear on November the 6th. In the meantime, Bryce said he's moving forward with his congressional campaign. He said the problem the candidates are having is that they are running out of money. Bryce said he will hold town hall-style meetings beginning next year in every town throughout the 19th Congressional District. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Richard Moody is reporting for Columbia Green Media that in an uncommon moment of consensus, U.S. Representative John Faso and Governor Andrew Cuomo agreed the federal proposal to eliminate deductions on state and local taxes would hurt New Yorkers by doubling their tax burden. The proposal is part of President Donald Trump's larger tax reform plan unveiled Wednesday, September the 27th. Officials spoke out Thursday, stressing the tax plan would hurt working and middle-class New Yorkers. The president's plan includes consolidating certain tax brackets, reducing the corporate tax rate to 20%, and eliminating federal deductions on state and local property and income taxes from federal taxable income. Cuomo focused his criticism on the part of the plan that proposes eliminating deductions people can file for on their federal taxes for certain state and local taxes. Cuomo said, and I quote, I believe it's unconstitutional and it's a pure tax increase, end quote. Faso, a Republican who has disagreed with the Democrat governor over health care policies, agreed with Cuomo this time, opposing the elimination of the federal tax deductions. Faso said, and I quote, I remain opposed to eliminating the deductions for state and local taxes as this would represent double taxation on taxes paid to state and local governments, end quote. You can read that full story at HudsonValley360.com.
And local Representative John Faso, Republican from Kinderhook, voted with most Republicans September 28th on two bills. Faso voted for the Disaster Tax Relief and Airport and Airway Extension Act of 2017, which passed 264 to 155 with only 7 Republicans against the bill. The GOP said it would save taxpayers money, while Democrats railed against the further deregulation of national airline policy. Faso was also one of all but 3 Republicans voting for the Control Unlawful Fugitive Felons Act of 2017, which passed 244 to 171. This bill aims to keep folks with felony warrants on parole or parole violations from receiving Social Security disability or retirement checks.
Also, the Spotlight 19 subscribable audio show interviewed Faso this week. Here's a short excerpt of that interview. Search for Spotlight 19 to listen to the entire show.
Last week, you voted in favor of a spending bill for 2018 that includes massive cuts to the Environmental Protection Agency, although it is less than the amount requested by the president. Given that Hoosick Falls, a community here in New York 19, was designated as a Superfund site by the EPA and is largely reliant on that agency's resources, why would you vote to further cut funding for this agency that is so vital to our communities here in the district?
Well, indeed, the Hoosick Falls situation I'm very familiar with. I've been to that community many times, both before and after I've been elected. So there were specific proposals that were made by the Trump administration that were rejected, which would have reduced the funding for communities affected by polluted sites that are Superfund sites. So much or all of that funding was restored in the appropriations measure. And keep in mind as well that the president had proposed rather dramatic cuts through a whole host of non-defense discretionary spending in the budget. And I opposed most of those, not every single aspect of it, but most of those. And in the budget committee, when we were given the current non-defense discretionary budget number is $516 billion. The president proposed $452 billion, which was a dramatic reduction in those categories, and that included many programs, water, air, environment, water and sewer, Superfund, et cetera. Well, instead of 452, we came back with a $511 billion number. And so, by and large, most of the dramatic cuts to the EPA and other agencies like NIH were avoided. So every appropriation measure, when you consider that the appropriations for the budget for the federal government are well over $4 trillion. Now, that's every aspect of spending. The discretionary portions of that are smaller than that, obviously, but there are aspects in that spending plan that you or I might agree with or disagree with, but at the end of the day, you have to make a decision as to, is this something in the totality that you agree with in terms of moving the country forward? And I'm pleased to say that this is the first time in many years that the House of Representatives has actually passed all 12 of the spending bills prior to the end of the beginning of the fiscal year. So I'm pleased at that. That's something that I had argued strenuously for, and it's vitally important that the government agencies be given a financial blueprint, a fiscal blueprint, that they can plan their activities for the year. And I'm hopeful that the Senate will pass these appropriation bills soon as well.